Is that what that's like when you're by yourself in here, Brother Mike? All right. So, hey, I want to talk tonight. The Lord gave me a thought on Sunday while Brother Ken was preaching. And I've been trying to mature that thought this week, and he's given me just a little bit of a lesson here. So we're going to go with it. And it's centered around one verse, quite frankly, one verse. Acts 26:28. And many of you know this story, but it's when King Agrippa had something to say here. So Acts 26:28. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. That's a very powerful verse in the Bible. See, this is a time where Paul was on trial. And Paul said, or King Agrippa said, Paul, you can speak for yourself. So he's on trial, and Paul started kind of giving a little bit of a testimony. He kind of told his story. And he talked about seeing the light on the Damascus Road. He talked about it being hard to kick against the pricks. He talked about how he had mistreated Christians and how he was a sinner. And he talked about the fact that God has sent him to the Gentiles to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. And he ended in verse 27 by saying to King Agrippa, asking him, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. And King Agrippa answered with, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. This got me to thinking a lot about the word almost. Almost. Drop that word and it would have changed everything. Take the word almost out of that sentence. Thou persuadest me to be a Christian. That's a whole different, it's a whole different meaning, isn't it? So, if he'd have said, thou persuadest me to be a Christian, everything for King Agrippa would have been different from that point on in his life. Almost can be a pretty horrible word. Last Sunday afternoon, I did something I never do. I was at my father-in-law's house and I watched some football. I just don't do it. But, you know, I kind of enjoy it every now and then. Well, I took the notes because I didn't want to get it wrong. Somebody would throw something at me. So, did anybody watch the Bears and the Dolphins? Okay, y'all too, huh? Okay, maybe a couple of you. So the Bears and the Dolphins were in overtime when I got there. They were in overtime, right, Brother Chuck? So, I caught it about the point where one of the Dolphins running back made it to the goal line with a ball and fumbled right on the goal line. I mean, it couldn't have been more perfect. But if he'd have scored, they'd have been pretty much sure to win the game at that point. But he fumbled right on the goal line. He almost made a touchdown. If he'd have made a touchdown, there'd have been a score on the board. But he didn't, so they turned the ball around to the Bears. As a matter of fact, they counted it a safety. Did I get that right? And ended up putting it on the 20-yard line, so they had 80 yards to go instead of 100 or 99 yards to go. Anyway, the Dolphins won, if anybody cares. But at the end of the day, almost, who was it, Brother Chuck? You remember the running back? Yeah. I can't either, but, and I probably shouldn't because it was an embarrassing moment for him. But the camera kept going to him after that, and he had a towel over his head and kind of had his head down. And they would, you know, the other players would come by and they'd pat him on the head, you know, like it's all right, and they'd rub his shoulder. But he never would get out from under that towel. And I was thinking, he was almost a hero. He was almost a hero, but he ended up kind of being a zero. And just a few inches separated him from being a hero to a zero. Almost. When you get the word almost in there, the situation doesn't change. The situation in front of it doesn't change. In other words, nothing happened to the scoreboard. I don't know if you guys are watching or following our high school team this year, but I've been going to every game. We've had a pretty tough year. And we've had a few tough beats. And I noticed the toughest beats on the boys out there, we lost two games, each by 1 point. They almost won. It was so close. They fought so hard, and they just almost won. And those were the most upsetting games. But almost doesn't put a one in the or a two in the win column. Almost doesn't create that score that we're looking for. I was thinking about, King Agrippa almost got persuaded to be a Christian. And I wonder if there are people here Sunday after Sunday that are almost making a move to come down the aisle. If they're almost signing up, if they're almost going to buy in. The problem with almost is it falls short of actually happening. So almost can be a pretty bad word. I don't want to lead an almost life. It scares me to death to live a life without purpose. That's one of my biggest fears. I'll just share that with you guys. I've seen it. I've seen people go through their entire life and end with it appears they had no purpose. They didn't accept the purpose through their life, and they end it without contributing anything, and it scares me to death. I don't want to almost fulfill my purpose in life. Don't want to fall short of that. And it scares me. Almost receiving Christ into my life would be a bad thing. That would be leading an almost life. Almost living for God. Just doing enough, but not really signing up. Almost getting my destructive behaviors under control. You know all those things all of us have that we know aren't good for us? And we fight them, the sins of our flesh and the desires of our belly, and just almost getting that under control. Almost making friends. Well, wouldn't that be an almost life? Almost contributing enough of myself to make a difference to others. Almost committing to tithe. God can't bless us if we don't follow what He's put in front of us. And we just almost get there, our commitment with our time and our money and with what God's blessed us with, that will fall short of leading the life. That would put us in a position to have an almost life. Almost finding God's path for our life. Almost using the talents that God's given us for the purpose that He's created us for. So, King Agrippa, he had it all by the world standards. He was a man of royalty. He was a man of honor. He was a man of position, a man of great wealth. With the ability to influence people and a nation greatly. And he was in a position to do great things, but without God, King Agrippa led an almost life. Because he could never reach the full potential that a king could have without God in his life, directing his path. If you guys will, turn over to the book of Matthew 19. Matthew 19. You guys okay? I kind of feel like I almost got your attention tonight. Are y'all all right? Are you hearing me? All right. Y'all almost have enough energy to be here? I'm a little worried, Brother Dwayne. Is it going to be okay? Is it going to be okay? All right. I'm glad you didn't say almost. All right. The book of Matthew, chapter 19, verse 16. This is the story of the rich man. And behold, in verse 16, and behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Verse 18, And he saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. and thou shalt not bear false witness. See, Jesus was setting him up to understand that even though, you know, he might be good, he would just almost be good enough. So he was setting him up to help him understand what it really required to be perfect. In verse 19, he said, oh yeah, and honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So, you got to think that, you know, he felt like he was doing pretty good, but love thy neighbor as thyself, this should turn anybody's light on, because I kind of think we all fall short of that. How many of us love our neighbor as ourselves? Because most of us, we like us some self, don't we? I mean, we all like ourselves. So in verse 20, the young man said unto him, all these things I have kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? He said, you know, Jesus, I'm fine. I'm good. I got everything you just named. I'm in a good place with it. I excel at all of it. What else you got? You know, what else does it take? So in verse 21, Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But then the young man in verse 22 heard that, but when he heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. You see, this man, he almost committed to Jesus. He was almost perfect, according to his own self, but he wasn't willing to sacrifice his wealth for others or his plan to follow Jesus. He wasn't willing to let go of that thing that he held so tightly to follow Jesus. Almost, if he just hadn't had so much wealth, if he hadn't just been so tied to his wealth, if he'd have been willing to drop what he had and to follow Jesus, he could have led that full life that Jesus had for him. He had everything else according to him, but he wasn't willing to let go of that one thing. So what is it that the 12 disciples have in common? Over in Luke 5, let's look at some of that. Luke 5, verse 10. Luke 5, verse 10. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. In verse 11, and when they had brought their ships to the land, they forsook all and followed him. You see the contrast? One wasn't willing to let go. These disciples were willing to let go of everything. They dropped it all and followed him. To follow Jesus means to say no to some things and to say yes to him. It means to trust his path over our logic. It means to deny our desires and our selfishness, or a need to get more and bigger and be bigger and expand for God's purpose in our life. I was talking to a guy the other day, and he said, I've just moved from one house to another, and we built a big, beautiful home, and I'm really happy with it. And only problem is, it's on 1 acre of land. And I wish I had more land. And I just kind of looked at him and I said, we all want more. He goes, yeah. I said, you can't ever get enough to not want more. We can get all that there is around us. We can be just like King Agrippa and have a whole kingdom. But if we don't have God, we're leading an almost life. That's all I got this evening.